So actually this Troy letter sort of came out on Friday, but also just came out today, depending on, I had some snafus with Tiny Letter, so I apologize about that, but I explain more if you really want to know why there was a delay. It was out of my control, but I put it in the letter. So
I must say it was wonderfully explained. Also.
Oh, well, thanks.
I loved it.
Try to be thorough in everything I report on, even when I'm reporting on myself. So last week, the biggest story in the letter for this current issue was last Thursday night. The Troy City Council's Finance Committee, which is, you know, continuing to review the mayor's proposed budget for next year, talked to the Troy Police Department chief, Brian Owens, about the police department's budget for next year. And the department's budget is a little over $20 million, quite big. A lot of, you know, members of the department and plenty of different facets of the budget to go over. Some of them, you know, probably more controversial or newsworthy than other facets. One of the big sort of initiatives for next year is body-worn cameras. This has been in the works or talked about at least for a number of years now, but now it seems like it will happen this upcoming year. The department has applied for a grant from the state attorney general's office that it seemed, and while it hasn't received word back yet that they have gotten it, it seems that there's been some signs that they will. That's basically what the chief said, because he said that the state recently requested more information about their application, which I think he was sort of implying was an auspicious sign about them actually getting the funding. And that funding also, that grant also requires a local match, I think about 25% of what the total amount of the grant is that the city is, I think, prepared to put up at this point. And then also the city intends to bond. There's a meeting later this month where they'll vote on it, but they intend to bond for about $250,000 worth of body cameras and sort of attendant equipment that is used to store the footage. And lastly, they're also going to, if the budget is approved as it currently stands, the department will also hire an extra video clerk who would be responsible for handling the footage from the body-worn cameras. There's a draft policy has now been completed as in terms of like what are the rules, you know, kind of governing the department's use of this footage. I haven't seen a copy of that. That policy, but I would assume, and if it's not presented, I will ask for it. You know, that the public will be shown this policy at some point. And so the chief basically said, and also I should say that the state assemblyman John McDonald is going to try to secure funding as well to help offset some of the costs from the program as well. That's according to what the mayor said at this meeting last week. The chief also said that the department will choose what vendor it wants kind of probably around January, and then start a pilot program around that time, kind of cycling different units through using the cameras. And then, you know, a month or two after that, then the program will begin, you know, sort of in earnest or fully implemented at that point. So that's sort of the timeline that's laid out. And also the PBA president reached out to me and told me that the department, the PBA at this point is supportive of the program, or enacting the program, I should say. So that's,
which is the Police Benevolent Association for those.
That's the police union for like the rank and file members. Yeah. What else?
I have a question. So will this be the first, precinct or the first line of cops or whatever that will have body cameras in the Capital Region? I haven't really heard anyone else really taking on this project.
Albany and Schenectady and Saratoga Springs, actually, to varying degrees, I think, at this point. I know I'd have to look back. I've written stories about it, but mm-hmm. I just don't have them in front of me in terms of like to what extent each of those programs has been you know, is fully implemented. But all three have some iteration of body-worn cameras at this point. So I guess Troy actually lags behind, you know, those three. You know, and I say lags behind not with any judgment as to whether or not body cameras are a good idea. I think there's various schools of thought to that. You know, some people have criticized body-worn cameras as like they're often presented as this, you know, cure-all for police to prevent the idea that they'll prevent, you know, police mm-hmm. misconduct, which I think many people would challenge. And, you know, and further that body worn, you know, critics will say that body worn cameras actually are, they're used more, they're more a tool of another tool of surveillance rather than any sort of way of neutrally capturing, you know, what actually happens. So
were there a lot of different, opinions in the audience at this meeting?
No, there were not, only because I was one of, I don't want to say I was the only member of the public, though I may well have been. It was a very lightly attended meeting, so there was no public comment of any kind that I can recall about that specifically pertained to the police budget, which that's why I'm there, I guess.
Gotcha.
And sir, some other maybe more minor items. The police, the city is also going to bond for a little over a dozen new police vehicles. The police chief explained that some of their vehicles are quite, they've accrued a lot of wear and tear. Some of the regular patrol cars have over almost 200,000 miles on them, and we have to bond to pay for those vehicles, and they're not cheap. I forget the full, the big, you know, the complete cost of those 14 vehicles, but they're not cheap, and the useful life of police vehicles is supposedly only around 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't mean that they go in the trash after 3 years, but they will then cycle them to either units within the police that are not patrol, that might be less likely to like go on chases or something like that, to, you know, or they'll be cycled to like other departments within the city, within city government, like the code enforcement office or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're also, in terms of capital construction projects, if you've walked on 6th Avenue between where the police station is now and where the news is, you'll notice there's like this little sort of vacant lot, basically, where the police store various things that they might seize over the course of investigations, like say cars or like copper pipes or any sort of stuff. And they have to store that stuff often for the pendency of cases that are being prosecuted through appeals and, you know, whatever. So oftentimes they have to store things for quite a long time. And also to process cars for evidence and stuff. Right now, they sometimes use this port that's in the police station, which is also where they bring prisoners in and out, or people apprehended to Troy City Court. So it's sort of not ideal for their operations. So they're going to build, if the bond goes through later this year, they'll spend about $120,000 building like a new evidence shed sort of between where the news building is and the police station. Overtime increase, the police budget includes an extra $100,000 compared to last year for overtime costs. Overtime is, you know, basically when a police officer has worked over X number of hours in the week, then they begin to accrue overtime. The chiefs don't get it, but some of the other ranking members are entitled to overtime. And the one question that was asked was, well, is that increase, you know, or where does overtime come from, right? Does it come from because there's, say, a big case or a big incident that requires a lot of police to be on duty or to work longer hours? Or is it more a question of staffing? Like right now, I think so. The sworn officer number in the Troy Police Department is about 130 members, but I think there's currently about 6 vacancies on the force, basically. And when there's more vacancies, then more cops have to work overtime potentially, and that's what, at least that was the explanation that the chief gave in response to that question. The department size, there's been talk in the past, over the past year or so, there's been talk about what the appropriate size of the police department should be, or what's the optimal size. Apparently there is no, the Times Union did a story about this, and they asked some scholar who studies this sort of thing. And he said that he wasn't aware of any research that like says exactly what the appropriate or what the right size of a police department is,
right,
to like function
a golden ratio,
right,
of some sort.
Yeah, and the council president Carmelo Mantello asked the mayor if there had been any word or any discussion of, you know, conducting a study to that effect. And the mayor said no, that it's something that comes up in his meetings with the chief, but that at this time they're not, you know, suggesting to expand the size of the size of the department currently, although the chief did say last week that he'd like to see the force increased. He didn't say by how much. And then finally, you know, maybe this was the biggest news to come out of the last week, and probably the most controversial. The chief said that he wants to reinstate or restore or revive the drug unit that was that the chief disbanded himself disbanded earlier this year after the two former now retired detectives were charged with, you know, various misdemeanors and felonies, although the felonies were later dropped. You mentioned it just mm-hmm. in your opening item that they were sentenced to a conditional discharge earlier today. He said that he wants to, you know, so currently now and probably even before that incident, members of the Troy Police Department were on, like, participating in this sort of task force with other federal agencies, and they investigate sort of drug related operations of all stripes. And what the chief at least said at this meeting was that although that handles sort of the larger scale operations, he wants to reinstate the city's drug unit because that would handle, I can even quote from what he said. This is the chief speaking, and what we see is a lot of nuisance level drug dealing that's certainly very disruptive to people in the neighborhood. It also leads to violence potentially, so we need to have our own unit. And he said that he only wants to do this, or as he does this, he wants to make sure that, quote, everyone has solid trust in that unit. I followed up with him on that. I just asked, you know, what does that mean exactly to, you know, how are you going to regain people's trust in that unit? And I can read you what he said. One of the things we want to do is make sure that we staff it properly, make sure that everyone is properly trained, given the resources that they need, just to make sure that the conduct of that unit is above reproach. I can't get into any particulars on how I would do that. Because I really don't know yet. It's just a matter of making sure that we do it right, that there's sound policy in place, that there's training in place, and there's supervision in place. And then one council person, Mark McGrath, who represents this district, said that he wouldn't support the reinstatement of the unit at this time. And obviously you can tell from the chief's answer there that, like, there are not a lot of specifics as mm-hmm. to, like, how that would actually work and whether there would be any appetite on the part of the public to see that unit restored at this point. I don't know, you know, again, there was no one spoke at that meeting, but I did, someone reached out to me today, from the Troy branch of DSA, just sort of asking about more, you know, whether there would be another, you know, opportunity to discuss, you know, that potential reinstatement at this time. And I told them, I'm not aware of any, like, meeting that's specifically scheduled at this point where this particular topic will be discussed, but, you know, certainly nothing would preclude, say, the city council's public safety committee from convening a meeting to, you know, discuss this further. You know, the other question that immediately came up was, like, well, is this there's nothing really that the city council will have to vote on in terms of whether or not to reinstate this unit. It's really like a decision that's basically at the discretion of the chief and or the mayor, I guess, because the chief, you know, serves under the mayor, you know, in this, mm-hmm. how the city government is structured. You know, so I would suppose that one way for folks to make their opinions heard on this would just to be reach out to the mayor's office or, you know, contact your city council person, you know, if that was something that you felt strongly about.
Always excellent advice. Now, Luke, where can people who want to follow this story find you?
You can tinyletter.com/Troy_letter is where you can sign up, or you can email me. I'm at luke.s.nathan@gmail.com. Email me and I can sign you up if you'd like.
Well, excellent. Thanks again for joining us, Luke. And as always, we look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for having me.